I'm going to ask some questions. This is going to be a tough one. Why are there deformities? Why are there disabilities? Why are there diseases? Why is there the incurable? Or so we're told. Why is there the unhealed? Why? Have you ever asked that question? Or am I the only one here that has pondered that? Why? Why do we have that? Anybody have a good answer? Because I'll get the microphone right here. You can preach this one. What's the answer? Because that is an incredibly hard subject, and to many of us, it is extremely real. So this morning, I'm going to do my best to try to get into the scripture, try to get an understanding of why. And it's tough, but I'm looking at this series so far. I had no idea really where this was going to be headed, because week to week, I don't necessarily know what the message is. There's a song, and they give me some words and thoughts, and God leads it. And I'm finding that this might be called the Do My Best series. Our first week with Trevor, Come As You Are. I don't fully understand that we can come to the throne of forgiveness. We can come to the cross. We can come to Jesus as we are, where I think we need to get all washed up and cleaned up first. It doesn't necessarily make sense to me, but that's how it is. And then we talked about faith, what faith is. And I'm not sure if I'm passing that class, because there's times I have faith and there's times I don't have an ounce of it. And it's an interesting subject, and I did my best to try to explain that one. And then last week, sometimes we're in a season of darkness. We're in a season of hurt. Maybe you've dealt with abuse. What do we do? These are challenging subjects that I wish there was a book in the Bible that just clearly laid it out. Give me the answers. And so today I want to do my best. As we talk about, and maybe I'll just call it maladies. I'm not sure what an all-encompassing word is, but something through our eyes which we think isn't perfect or right. What does the Bible have to say about it? I think this is a series of hard subjects that we need to know and understand and try to seek the Lord. And so to start it off, I'm going to start off with the scripture that you should start with. But to me, I read this and I get encouraged. But you might read it and it stings a little bit. And sometimes that's what the word does or messages do, you know. The preacher says something and you go, yeah, but you don't understand. And it can sting. So here's a problem scripture. Psalms 139, 13 through 16. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. If God made me wonderfully, why am I this way? Glaucoma in her eye. Multiple surgeries that she can only have three of. If you made me wonderfully, God, why am I this way? And many in this room, you could probably attest to this. Then why am I like this? That's a tough scripture. We want to know why, right? Or am I the only one? We want an answer to this. Why? And asking why has been asked for thousands of years. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Okay, so you mean he was made that way from the beginning? He was designed by God? He was wonderfully made? Verse 2, Rabbi's disciples asked him, why? There it is. We're asking, why? I need an explanation. Because I see a malady. There's got to be a why. Why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? So the explanation in their minds, and many times our minds, is, oh, it's sin. That's why. That's got to be the why. Verse 3. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. Then why? Jesus answered, this happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Now, that's where I'm going to end. Now, many of you know the rest of the story. God healed the guy. All right. But I'm not going to read that because I think it skews our thinking, our understanding a little bit, because I'm not sure if we're getting the right view of this. Let's look at this from a different view. This happened, Jesus said. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. When? That's my question. Not why. When was the power of God to be seen in him? After he was healed? Or before he was healed? Yes. Yes. The power of God should have been seen both. I think the man's weakness, being blind, could show God's strength. It wasn't, he's just going to be here so I can heal him, and now we get to see the power of God. No, I think he had the opportunity before then to show the power of God. Let's keep going. In the Bible's full of examples of maladies. God used Moses. He stammered. He stuttered. God used Isaac. He was blind. God used Paul, and we don't know exactly what it is, but he says there is a thorn in his flesh. Some sort of thing. I don't know if it was physical, emotional, spiritual, some sort of malady, I think, that was with him, and God used him mightily. God used Ehud, the left-handed assassin, if you go to the book of Judges. Now, I did a little digging here, and there are some scholars that believe, our scriptures say that he was left-handed when he used a sword to go against the bad guy, the bad king, and he used his left hand, but some have dug into that Hebrew and believe it doesn't necessarily say left-handed. It says he couldn't use his right because it was deformed. And yet God used him. Interesting. God used Jeremiah. You know what Jeremiah's nickname was? The weeping prophet. Go ahead, if you're having a good day, not when you're having a bad day, read Lamentations. This is authored by a guy who I would say is clinically depressed. He is the weeping prophet. The things he experiences, and yet God is using him. And God used Jacob. Let's read out Genesis 32, 24 through 28. This left Jacob all alone in the camp, and a man, an angel of God. A man came and wrestled with him until dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match against Jacob, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. Time out. What is it you nurses and doctors, the hippopotamus oath, whatever that is, whatever. Do no harm. You're an angel of God. Don't you have some sort of oath? Do no harm to humans? And what did he do? An angel of God made a man cripple? That's tough. I don't know about you. That's tough. 26. Then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. Apparently he had a curfew. I don't know. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Well, another time out. Hold on a second. You've got him. You've got him pinned to the mat, shoulders down. The ump or ref, whatever, I'm not in wrestling, sorry. You know, he's hitting the mat, he's counting it out. You've got the guy pinned, and you are calling for a blessing. Why not a healing? Has anyone here ever popped your hip out? Anybody ever fractured or broken a hip? I understand it hurts a little bit. He is there in agony and pain. His hip is out. He's hanging on to the guy, and he doesn't say, heal me. He says, bless me. That's interesting. 27. What is your name? The man asked. He replied, Jacob. 28. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him, from now on you will be called Israel. It's in this circumstance that we have the nation of Israel. Because you have fought with God and with men and have won. He struggled. He battled. And he won. What did he win for his struggle? A blessing and a bum hip. Which one's greater? Which one's more important? Which one do you seek after? We seek healing from God. Should we actually be looking for blessings instead? Let's keep going. You're in the finish line. Leviticus 19:14. Do not insult the deaf or cause the blind to stumble. You must fear your God, for I am the Lord. Who is this written to? The whole? Those that are not deaf? Those that are not blind? Church, there has been, there is, and there will be deaf and blind among us here on earth. What do we do? 1 Corinthians 12:21-22. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weak and least important are actually the most necessary. Who is this written to? The strong. There has been, there is, and there will be weak among us. What do we do? Luke 14:12-14. Then he turned to his host. When you put on a luncheon or a banquet, he said, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back, and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then, at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Who is this written to? The rich, the whole, the strong. There has been, there is, and there will always be the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. What do we do? Last one. 1 John 3:17. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, another version says, or pity, how can God's love be in that person? Who is this written to? This is written to all of us. Whether you are rich or you are poor, whether you are whole or you are lacking, whether you are strong or you are weak, there are people that God put in our lives to test us. They test to see if the love of God is truly within us. And sometimes you are the student in the test. And sometimes you are the example in the test. Let me wrap this up. I like to sing. You've now heard me sing a few weeks in a row. What you might not know is my voice is broken. It is. When I was much younger, I had a very clear, I had a 3-octave range voice. I could do falsettos. I could do so many different things. I had a lot of control with my voice. 2010, I lost that. My voice is broken. And sometimes I sing and people go, I mean, in my previous churches, I went through it there. They knew the thing I was going through. They'd come up and go, Pastor Jason, I just love your voice. It's just like a grunge band. It's kind of cool. And I go, thank you, but my voice is broken. It kind of stung a little bit because I knew it wasn't what it was supposed to be. I've seen 3 therapists, 2 voice instructors. I've had 1 surgery. I've had multiple medications. I've had multiple tests. And I've had at least 3 scopes. Worst thing in my life. First time I went in, troubled my voice. The doc said, well, let's take a look. I'm like, how can you see my voice? And they take a long, flexible camera and they shove it in your nose and it goes down your throat. And you got to be awake and you got to talk so they can see your vocal cords. I have an insane gag reflex. I almost made the guy quit his job. He sat back. He went, I can't believe I can't pass the scope. I was like, yes. Are we done? The second time I got scoped, after my surgery, my voice wasn't fixed. I went to Frederick University Hospital in Milwaukee. University Hospital, big hospital. I went to the ENT expert, this old doctor. And I go into this big building, and I'm in this room, and there's a doctor, and there's like 8 of them. These other people, all in white cloaks and tablets and stuff like that. And he said, well, I told him the problem was. He said, well, let's take a look. I'm like, oh, here we go. And so we go into this other room. First thing is walk into this other room, I notice this big screen TV. And I'm looking at it. He's like, oh, that's in case you want to watch. I don't want to watch that. You kidding me? And then he asked if I could, I need to scope you. And he said, do you mind if my students can be in here? I just want to be fixed. And you want to watch? I was a test subject for their education, for their growth. I didn't want to be. I just wanted to be whole. I don't want to be an example. I just want to be whole. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made, every single one in this room. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made to allow others to grow in their faith and to allow you to grow in your faith. Seek healing. Absolutely. Absolutely. Not bringing that down. Ask for prayer. Have people pray for you. Seek for healing. But more importantly, seek the blessings that God has for you. And your blessing may come with a bad hip. Your blessing may come with a bad eye. Your blessing may come with a beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep. So you seek Him so that the power of God can be seen in you today. God wants to show Himself powerful in you, in your malady, in your lacking, in your weakness. God wants to show His power so that others go, praise God. Did you see the power of God this morning through a beautiful little voice? And that voice is going to grow in strength. And it is going to overpower anything that comes her way. When I had asked, and she shared a little bit of it, but I have a quote from Sophie. And I'll conclude with this. I believe that God wants everyone to give Him all the bad things that have happened in their life because He is the only one that can turn it into something good, something better than we could ever imagine it could be. You see, we have a conclusion of what the good is. Blindness healed. Crippled made whole. Poor made rich. That's our imagination. I told you last week, your imagination is terrible compared to God's. God is going to do mighty things through you right now. Whether full or lacking, whether rich or poor, strong or weak, God can show his power through you today, and people can look at you and see the light of God, and the darkness will flee. Because some of us are stepping into phases of life where the darkness wants to overwhelm, where a malady is coming your way. But you have to recognize you're not an orphan, you're a child of God. You have to recognize there's a battle coming, put on the armor of God. You have to recognize you need Jesus Christ, the Word in our life. You have to recognize God wants to work through you no matter what you're going through. Because someone sitting to your right or left is going to hear your voice, a testimony, and go, I can do it. I can do it. Whew, sorry for making you all cry today. But the Lord is good. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I don't know if I have full understanding. Lord, my vocal thing pales in comparison to some of the things that are here. But Lord, we dove into your word. And we heard the testimony of a little angel. And I pray, Lord, that you spoke to our hearts today. Lord, there are some in here that have experienced or were even born with something that we would say is not whole. There are some here that are battling a disease. There are some here that are battling a physical thing. And Lord, in one voice, we pray for healing. For you are the healer. Heal them, Lord. I pray. But sometimes that healing is a heart. Sometimes that healing is on the inside before it's on the outside. And through some of these struggles, these battles, Lord, we've shaken our fist at you. We've not shown the power of God. But I pray that we can surrender ourselves to your will and be used by you, whether we can see or we are blind, whether we are rich or poor, we are strong or we are weak. Lord, use us for your purposes. And I pray, Lord, that this room turns into a room of the powerful, of the strong, not because of us, but because of you working through our lives. Lord, I pray that we seek your blessings every day, first and foremost. Maybe not necessarily, I don't know, God, doing my best here. Maybe we don't pray for that healing first. We pray for the blessing first. But if it be your will to use me whole, God, if it be your will to fix my voice so I can sing clearly again, please, Lord. But if not, I'm going to use this grungy old voice to declare Jesus Christ with every breath that I have. And if my elbow fails, my pancreas fails, my spleen fails, my lungs collapse, Lord, I'm going to use every breath to praise you because I love you. Thank you, Father, for being so good to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.